I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, our Creator, maker of heaven and earth. This is the day that God is making. This is the day that God is creating. And we are here together to worship the God of life and love. We're here to worship our Creator, maker of heaven and earth. So, friends, I welcome you to this time of worship. If you are joining us here on Zoom for the first time, we're glad that you're with us and that you've decided to join us this morning. And if you are here for the first time, we welcome you to introduce yourself via the chat feature on Zoom. If you wanna just say your name, a little bit about yourself, we would be happy to welcome you in that way. Or if you'd like to send me an email, you can do that as well, tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. And the email address is there in front of you on the screen. So we are glad you're here, and we welcome each of us just as we are into this space of worship and care. I want to lift up just a few announcements. I actually just want to see Carly. Carly is visiting for the first time, just moved to Philly. Welcome, Carly. Glad you're with us. Glad that you introduced yourself. Thank you. I want to just lift up as well a few announcements for us this morning. We're going to continue this week with our Tuesday morning prayer gathering, which we have every week via Zoom. If you would like to join us, let us know. Or if you're not on the tab listserv, which is where we send out the links for the Zoom services, let us know and we'll get you that link so you can join us for prayer on Tuesdays. We will not be having Bible study this Wednesday and next Wednesday. We are taking a break. So no Bible study for the next couple weeks. We're starting again in September. So just take note of that. Also want to, I'm looking forward to going on vacation this week. Our family is taking a week off, and I just wanted to ask for prayers for our safe travel and rest as we're away, but also lift up and give thanks for Lucinda, McGill Legendre, who will be preaching next Sunday, and want to give thanks for everyone who will be leading our service next Sunday. So you don't want to miss that service. That'll be next Sunday when I'm away. It's going to be a great time of gathering together. So please don't miss that service. Also want to give thanks that our website is up and running. We're having a few little kind of quirks that we need to work through, including the donation page. There's a little bit of a problem there. So later on in the offertory time, there'll be a direct link to give online. And so just make sure you note that. But I also want to say thank you to Chris Purdom, especially, who's been working tirelessly with the website. And it is up, and a lot of that, the important stuff is on there that you can see. So I want to give thanks for Chris's work on that. And we're going to be working on it, working on the website, and also doing some updates over the in the time to come. So we're thankful for that. So we're going to continue now in our time of worship. And so let us open up our hearts and our spirits as we call ourselves to worship.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you today. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather together to worship God. God who creates life, God who creates beauty. Even in this time, our spirits are united and our voices join in unison. We gather ourselves and center our minds to worship the God of truth. Come, let us glorify God.
Good morning, church. I invite you to join me in singing these songs of encouragement and praise. We'll start with a song that is based on a song by Imagine Dragons called Radioactive, but we've changed the words to be Ready for Action. Let's sing this song to prepare, our lives to be full of active care. I'm waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul, God's justice making whole. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. I'll make a vow and say a prayer to serve God's people everywhere. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul, God's justice making whole. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Amen. Oh, to you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you challenge us to rethink what we think we know, to move beyond our initial offense, disgust, confusion, and unknowingness. Open our eyes so that we may see. Open our ears so that we may hear. Move us when our legs are leaden. Shake us when our hearts turn cold. Be our guide in this world, and let us learn from your humble and passionate way. Although it is often difficult, help us to listen and to understand. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We are dull and we do not see. We are stuck in our ways, but we like it. We have grown accustomed to evil. We utter unholy words, which leave us defiled, harming those around us. But there is another way. We can follow your path. Words planted in loving kindness. Actions rooted in justice and inclusiveness. So we cry out for your intervention. Have mercy on us. We are suffering from the harm we caused, thinking that we know best and who belongs where. We are ruining our home and imprisoning ourselves. God, have mercy on us. People of God, have faith that God will set you free. God will have mercy on you and correct your path. God hears your pleas for justice, love, freedom, and liberation. God heals your heart and guides you to walk humbly. Stand with dignity and face the truth. Unclenching your fists, notice how much you have for others with enough for yourself. Follow Christ's path to liberation. See your dignity and worth intact. Remembering the interconnectedness of your heart and words, of everything and being, feel your joyous rapture of God's truth in action. Friends, be not afraid. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to join in singing a song of praise together. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. This is a new song for many of us. And Buki gave me this song. I'm glad to learn it. So let's sing it together a couple times to learn it together. Salvation and glory, honor and power. salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, the Lord our God is omnipotent, the Lord our God is wonderful. For the Lord our God is mighty, the Lord our God is omnipotent, the Lord our God is wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, the Lord our God is omnipotent, the Lord our God is wonderful.
God sets us free and gives us peace that passes all understanding. We receive that peace from Christ and we offer that to one another. So let us take a moment now to offer signs of Christ's peace to each other.
It's also credited as anonymous. So.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Hi,
Elliot.
Hey.
Good
morning.
Hi,
hello.
Hi, Priscilla.
Hello.
Hi, Leroy.
Hi, Leroy.
Hello.
Me and John.
Hello, Lisa.
Morning.
And then the box with the box here.
Hi.
Hey,
Leroy.
Pascal.
Harley, welcome.
Welcome back, Pax.
Oh, thank you. Peace to you.
Welcome back.
Good morning, everyone.
Katie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Krista.
Priscilla.
Oh,
it's Auntie Laura. Hey.
Helen and Jim. Oh, my gosh.
Hi, Helen.
Eloise and Jim. Hi.
Hey, Jim.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Hello, Iowa, on the road.
Yeah, in the car.
We're in front of a coffee shop to get Wi-Fi.
Oh, no, you have no power.
No power, no electricity at home.
Oh, wow.
No, this is right.
Dedication.
Hola, Oscar.
And good to see you.
Oscar, I mean, I don't know why.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, Helen and Jim.
Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Oscar.
Wave and say hi.
Hi.
Is that Helen?
Yeah, it is Helen.
Yeah.
Helen, hi.
Where's Helen? Where's Helen?
Where's Helen?
Hi, Granny.
With Jim.
Jean and Amy.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen. I don't
see hi, Helen.
Oh, Jim went to
hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Elliot.
Oh, there's Helen. Hi. And Jim together. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, Helen and Jim.
How come she gets this one?
Good to see you, Leroy.
Good, good to see you, Helen.
Martin, that's
nice.
Love your car trip, Familia. No, Corazon. Familia, no, Corazon. Jean's correcting my Spanish. What can I do?
Can't get everybody on the screen at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, wonder how many pages it takes.
This one, this week, it's great.
Chris's parents.
You want to be good to
me?
That's not our average.
Thanks, Shel.
Thank you.
The first scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 and 6 to 8. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said these things: be fair to all people, do what is right, because soon my salvation will come to you. My goodness will soon be shown to the whole world. Some foreigners have chosen to follow the Lord. They do this so that they can serve the Lord and love the Lord and be the Lord's servants. They keep the Sabbath as a special day of worship, and they will continue to follow closely my agreement. So I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them happy in my house of prayer. The offerings and sacrifices they give me will please me, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God said these things. The Israelites were forced to leave their country, but the Lord will gather them together again. The Lord says, I will bring them back together again. The word of God for the people of God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and those who are children at heart to come closer to the screen and hear the children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, come and see. I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Hello, friends. My name is Nicole. I use the pronouns she and her. And this is Elliot. He uses pronouns he and him. And we moved to Maine last summer, but have been loving worshiping with you guys during this crazy pandemic. And we wanted to tell you about something that at least I think is really one of my favorite parts of being in Maine, which is tide pools. In Maine, our coast along the ocean at points is very rocky. And tide pools are a place where it's this amazing little ecosystem that when the tide is high, it's covered with water. And when the tide is low, it's exposed rocks and there are animals in there just waiting for the water to come back up. So I wanted to share a couple pictures with you today of some of the tide pools right by us.
I know, it's kind of weird that my mom took pictures of tide pools.
Do you think it's weird that I took pictures of tide pools?
Yeah.
So this, here you can see the ocean crashing on some of the rocks and the tide.
I think everybody knows what tide pools are.
Do you? Well, when we lived in Philadelphia, the beach that we went to was the Jersey Shore, and it was a beautiful place, but it was a lot of sand. In Maine, it's kind of different. There's a lot of rocks.
We saw tide pools in New Jersey.
I didn't see as many. So here is a picture of, this is pretty low tide. And this is where we might go out and explore. This is one of my favorite pictures of Elliot.
Okay.
Exploring the tide pool.
You're going through. I'm trying to read.
So what do you think you're looking at there,
Yipes!
Bugs? What do you think you're looking at?
Let me see.
Do you see the picture of you?
No, not really.
Okay, well, what's that there?
It's a crab that's actually weirdly green.
And what are those?
They're called periwinkle snails.
Let me show one more thing this way. So there's some snails. We saw a crab. Now, what are those?
Mussels.
Mussels. And then we want to show you one more thing. This was like a super strange thing. If you know what this is, you'll have to put it in the chat box because we don't know. This is a teeny tiny thing. And Elliot noticed this thing.
It's kind of pulsating there, isn't it? Yeah.
That's my dad talking. We're like, what is that thing? It was teeny tiny, but it's alive. So the tide pools help me remember a couple of things. One thing is to pay attention. And I think it's something we need to do all the time.
Yeah, if you don't pay attention, you might miss something. And that's what my mom's trying to say.
Tide pools are a place where we can practice paying attention. We can learn how to pay attention really well because you have to sit there for a little while before you start noticing. Like, it's not like you walk up and just see a crab right away. You have to be patient and really look. Like,
it takes time.
So, and the other thing I've been thinking a lot about is how we as humans.
Here's what I'm going to say. Think of cooking. That takes time, right? And you have to, like, wait like that. Like, you're waiting for the oven to heat up. You have to wait for the tide pools to get active.
Yeah, to kind of reveal their life if you look at them closely. So the other thing I've been thinking about is how we as humans, we know a lot of stuff and we have the capability to know a lot of stuff. But I like to think that the things in the tide pool know some things that I don't know. Some people call this other intelligences. So I like to sit by a tide pool and think about what other intelligences are in front of me. What do mussels know about the ocean that I could never know? Or what does that weird thing going like this, what truth does it hold that maybe I could never discover?
Maybe it's a new type of jellyfish.
Yeah, we thought maybe it was, but it's super teeny tiny. Anyway, if you know what it is, we are interested to know. So I hope you all find places to explore this week or as the summer rounds out where you can pay attention and think about some other intelligences. If you feel like making a funny face at the screen like Elliot, you can do it now. Okay, let's say a prayer. Will you repeat after me, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hold hands. If you're with someone, you can hold hands. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for tide pools.
Thank you for tide pools.
And helping us learn to pay attention.
And helping us learn to pay attention.
And be patient.
And be patient.
And learn from other beings.
And learn from other beings.
Amen.
Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
This Sunday, Pastor Katie told me that the sermon might have something to do with the importance of language and words, and I thought of this song that we used to sing a lot, Though I May Speak, which we might know in lots of different texts, but I think you'll recognize the melody. Let's sing together. My words are vain.
striving soul, my love profess, but have not gained by love within. The prophet soon grows strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are free.
Hear our second reading for today, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. We're starting in verse 10 and reading through verse 28 this morning. So if you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to, if you have a Bible at home, or you can just read or hear the words as I read them. Let's listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. Jesus called the crowd near and said to them, "Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates the person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you just said?" Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly parent didn't plant will be pulled up. Leave the Pharisees alone. They are blind people who are guides to blind people. But if a blind person leads another blind person, they will both fall into a ditch." Then Peter spoke up. "Explain this riddle to us," Jesus said. "Don't you understand yet? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that's what contaminates a person in God's sight. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual sins, thefts, false testimonies, and insults. These contaminate a person in God's sight, but eating without washing hands doesn't contaminate in God's sight." From there, Jesus went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from those territories came out and shouted, "Show me mercy, son of David. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." But Jesus didn't respond to her at all. His disciples came and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps shouting out after us." Jesus replied, "I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." He replied, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table." Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. It will be just as you wish." And right then, her daughter was healed. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, I ask for your presence here in this time. I know that you're already here, that you're with us in our homes, in all the places where we are right now. God, we ask that we would be open to your presence, that we would hear from you. I ask, God, that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I read a recent Facebook post from a clergy friend of mine who lives in Iceland and is in ministry there, which is the place where I grew up. And my friend was commenting on recent news that the Lutheran State Church in Iceland was issuing an apology to the LGBTQIA plus community for the prejudices and the mistreatment that they've had to endure at the hands of the church, the state church. In this post, my friend took the opportunity to tell a story of a moment in his ministry when it became clear to him that he was a participant in this mistreatment as a member of the clergy, as a member of a large institution called the Lutheran State Church of Iceland. And he told this story of a funeral that he officiated for a man many years ago. He had met the whole family beforehand and had written down notes about this man's history and meaningful events in his life. And he used those meaningful events in the sermon that he gave at the funeral. Afterward, all the family and friends were gathered in the fellowship hall after that service. And he remembers a woman came up to him with pain and anger in her eyes. And she said, "Why didn't you mention me in the speech?" And he said, "Are you a relative of the man who was deceased?" And she said, "Yes, I am his daughter-in-law." And he felt his body grow cold and said, "Well, who's your husband?" And she said, "No, his daughter is my wife." He told this brief story and he said that was the fall of 1991. My friend, who was a young minister back then, is now retired. But he remembered that day clearly, and he confessed that that was the moment that he realized that he was a participant in an unjust social system in which the church was intricately connected. The post caught my attention because you don't often see confessional posts on Facebook. People tend to share their personal highlights, not as much their personal lowlights on Facebook, which maybe is understandable. But that's why it caught my attention. And I think also what caught my attention was people's comments about his confession. What was interesting to me is that several people came to his defense and tried to defend him, and also came to the defense of the church, defending the church. And I thought, why? Why not let him confess? Hear him confess. Because there is transformative power in that confession, an important moment of grace and learning for him in his life. And that ability that he had to be specific, to remember a location, a time, with a real person who was affected by his words, who was harmed by his words, or actually his silence. To name that is powerful because it became the ground of change for him. A shifting out of prejudice and the beginning of a journey for him toward solidarity with queer folk and queer and trans folk in Iceland. Confession, I think, is about having vulnerability and courage to name with specificity our participation in doing harm. If you can be specific, if you can look for the intricacies of the change that need to happen within you, because you can only take steps to change if you know the steps you took in doing harm, if you can interrogate that and investigate that. Confession is an indispensable component of justice making. That's why the prophets speak about it so much. And it's the only pathway to get out of the mess of social injustice. The only pathway to do that is to dive into the mess of it and watch where you are in it, what part you're playing in it. I think one of the most remarkable gifts of being a human being is in our God-given ability to change, We don't often like change, but we have a remarkable ability as human beings that God gives us to not be the same people that we once were. That is actually a tremendous gift that we have. Now, the story that we hear today in the Gospel of Matthew is troubling, to say the least. Jesus is mean. He is being a jerk. He's being a jerk. He calls this Gentile woman, this Canaanite woman, a dog. Now, you can interpret your way, you can try to interpret your way out of that to make that sound nice or something. It won't work. There is no way to get around the fact that he is being insulting to this woman. After he completely ignores her. She's shouting for help in the streets, shouting for help for her daughter. He completely ignores her. He's silent and indifferent. And then he's insulting. Then he says, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. In other words, the children's food is Israel's food, is food for Israel. The dogs are those who are outside, the Gentiles. Food is not for them. He's come to help his people. He's got clarity about his mission. That's okay. That could be good to be clear about the people you've come to help. Having boundaries, we all know that we can't help everyone, so maybe he's got some clarity around his boundaries. That's good. But that doesn't really outweigh his being a jerk, him calling her a little dog. It's very offensive and insulting. And it's interesting, if we read this story in light of what just came before, there's an added layer of meaning here. Jesus had just been talking to the Pharisees, his fellow Jews, telling them about the importance of what comes out of your heart and what comes out of your mouth that can be harmful. He's been warning them to not get caught up in less important matters like maintaining cultic purity, while ignoring more important matters from the Torah, like moral behavior. He says, look, what matters is what's coming out of your heart. What comes out of your heart and your mouth is what defiles. So pay attention, he says. Remember what the Torah is all about, loving God with all your heart and soul and strength. Jesus is calling out these religious leaders to attend to the words and actions that defile and harm both them and other people. And then, in the very next scene, it's like he's forgotten what he just preached. Because what's coming out of Jesus' heart and Jesus' mouth is not loving, it's not compassionate, it's insulting, and it's prejudice. We could make some legitimate excuses for Jesus, just like people did for my friend on Facebook. Well, he's had a really hard day. He's always with people. He hasn't had time to rest. He has compassion fatigue. He can't catch a break. He needs a vacation. We could say he has his limits. Like I said, he has to leave some people and work alone. We could make excuses, legitimate excuses. But let's not do that. Let's not come to his defense, because I don't think he wants us to. And if we defend him, we will miss the transformative moment that this is for him. We need to watch what he does, watch how he doesn't get defensive, watch how he listens and learns, because that is where the teaching is. He listens to her. She says, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he stands corrected by her wit and wisdom. He stands corrected in her demand to be included. He allows himself to be influenced and persuaded. He allows his prejudice to be exposed. He has the humility to be influenced by her truth. Yes, it's hard to see Jesus insult and harm with his words. And yet, in exposing his prejudice, he exposes ours too. He reminds us that despite our best intentions, despite our stated values, even if our stated values are on our website, despite our every effort, we do fail to live up to what we believe and what we teach and what we preach. And the way to work on that is through confession. Having the vulnerability and the courage to name the specific times and locations and real people that we've harmed. That was a moment for Jesus, and we can learn from him. So we've talked about confession and Jesus, but what about her? What about her? Because after all, it is her faith that is called great. She is actually the one whose faith and voice is amplified in this passage. If Jesus models repentance, she models resilience. And her resilience seems to be here a synonym for faith. Her faith is shown to us in her resilience. Watch what she does. She demands to be included. She demands that her daughter get health care. She says with wit, okay, if my people are dogs, how about you give us some crumbs? It's kind of like saying, okay, if you've got 12 baskets left over from the feast in the wilderness, I'll take the leftovers. This woman knows, actually, she knows about the God of Exodus. She knows about the God of the Israelites. She knows about the God of Jesus, the God who has promised, as Isaiah said in the earlier passage we heard, to bring all peoples to God's holy mountain. She knows that God's house is to be called a house of prayer for all people, not just a chosen few. She knows about this God who gathers the outcasts, who gathers the foreigners, those in this context foreign to Israel. She knows already that she and her daughter and her people have been included in the promises of God. And so out of her heart and out of her mouth comes truth and life and demand for inclusion. She is modeling faithfulness to Torah in a way that the Pharisees have failed to do, in a way that Peter and the other male disciples have failed to do. Remember, their faith was called little. Here she's modeling great faith. She's modeling faithfulness in a way that in this moment Jesus is failing to do. And she is rightly praised for it. This is the only time in Matthew's gospel that the adjective great is used to describe someone's faith. And it is here in reference to this Gentile woman. Faith is one of those words that can get kind of ethereal. We don't always know what we're talking about when we say faith. It can mean actually many, many different things depending on context. But here, if we ask the question in this context, what is it that makes her faith great? What would we say? I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I think it is in her resilience and in her maintaining dignity and self-worth in the face of harm, in the face of demeaning words. It's also in her demand for inclusion. It's in her crying out and refusing to be silent, in her agitation of the person in authority at this moment who she knows has power to help her daughter. It's in her speaking out for a share of abundant justice that is poured out by God on all. Humans have put restrictions on that abundance. She demands a share. That is all part of what makes her faith great. It's her faith in action. She's saying, Jesus, make available for my daughter what is already available to Israel, because we have a share too in God's abundance. We deserve health care too. Sometimes I think we have an understanding of faith as something that is sort of fluffy and ethereal. We don't often tend to think, I feel, about that faith is something like an agitating force, like an aggressive demand for justice and inclusion. This woman gives us an example that is exactly what faith in action looks like and it feels like. It can be that agitating force, that aggressive demand for justice and inclusion. So I want to ask you this morning, I want us to think about this. I want us to ponder the witness of these two people who are at the center of the story. The witness, first of all, of Jesus as a listener, as a learner, one who exposes his own failing so that we can see ours too and confess and change. And I want to ask you to ponder the witness of this woman who does more speaking than listening here, because she's the one in this moment whose voice is to be amplified. She knows about God's power to save and God's abundant gifts to be shared, and she demands that her people, her daughter, be included in those gifts. Who do you need to learn from today? Maybe it's her, maybe it's Jesus, maybe it's both. Our prayer this week can be for the strength of one or both of these witnesses. We can pray for the strength of Jesus, who shows us what humility looks like, what it looks like to listen, to not get defensive and grasp at excuses for our wrongful behavior, but to really listen and learn and begin to change. We can also pray for the strength of this woman. We can even give her a name. It bothers me that she doesn't have a name. We should be agitated by that. Too often people, and in the gospel writings, women don't have names. People who are on the margins don't have names. Sometimes what we can do is we can give her a name, or we can give names. And one of the ways we can do that too is because we know witnesses already who are like her. We can remember actual names of people who amplify, or whose voice needs to be amplified like hers is. And we can remember them by name, and we can pray for the strength of witnesses who have shown us what great faith looks like and feels like. A faith that rattles the cages of hardened hearts in power. A faith that disrupts the indifference and the silence of those who hold power. A faith that is not afraid to call out and cry out unrestrained and undeterred for health care and for safety for our children. So I want to invite you to use these witnesses to take this story, to have these witnesses in your life, and to pray for the strength of these two witnesses. I have a prayer, actually, that I would like to share with you that is written by Padre Gotuma that is based on this gospel reading. So I'm going to, we're going to shift, and Shell is going to put that prayer in front of you. And I just invite you to pray that prayer with me today, and perhaps throughout the week as well. So let's pray together. A prayer for resilience and repentance. Jesus of Nazareth, when you met the woman from Canaan, you called her a little dog, but that didn't stop her. Little dogs need little crumbs, she said. And you listened, repented, and praised her for her words. We praise her words too, and ask that we can speak like her, listen like you, because this is the gift of resilience and repentance. This just might save us. Amen.
Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go.
Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Use me, use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth.
We enter now into our time of offering. I'd just like to share with you that in an attempt to listen to what is happening in the world today and to show our faith in action, TAB recently has reaffirmed itself as a sanctuary church to help fight injustice and to work for change. Please give as you are able. To give electronically, text any amount to 84321 or visit tabernacleunited.churchcenter.com/giving, which is a new web address. Please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online. By text, include a tag like pledge or visitor or other along with your gift so that we know how to direct it. Please give as you are able.
We are going, heaven knows where we are. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh, yeah, yeah. Above ye heavens.
heavenly host, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Gracious and loving God, please guide our use of these gifts today as we work for your justice and your love in the world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susan. We're going to shift a little bit now as we turn our attention to sharing the prayers that are on our hearts. And so this is a time, just especially for those of you who might be visiting here or new to our Zoom service, we open up this space to for you to share. So if you have a prayer concern or a joy or a testimony that you'd like to share, or anything that you want to do to lift up what's on your heart, and that we can be praying with you and for you, and doing that together, this is the time to do that. So if you want to use the chat feature, that is what we use to share our prayers. So you are welcome to begin now to share any prayers that are on your heart. And in just a moment, Nicole will read those out loud for us to hear. So as we enter into this time and space, let's open our hearts to, as we hear each prayer come through, as we lift up each prayer, remembering that we carry one another's burdens. We are here to share in one another's struggles. We are also here to share in one another's joys. That is what community is all about. And so even though we're on this Zoom call and we're very far from each other in one way, this is a time where we're connecting more deeply with each other and sharing one another's burdens and joys. So let's hear now the prayers that come in, and please feel free to share.
From Amy and Jean, for our daughter-in-law, Myrna, who is experiencing neurological issues. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Deb, my whole family is rejoicing at the birth of Jude Maxwell DeLuca, my daughter's first baby. He's very tiny, but healthy. His middle name honors my beloved father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Familia Del Corazon, pray for Iowa, which amid terrible lack of leadership from the governor about COVID and safety in schools, has now gone through a devastating storm with hundreds of thousands, including our family, without power for a week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic, deep gratitude for this amazing sermon and illustration of Jesus's humanity and human imperfection, but more importantly, as an example of persistent, active faith. May we name this amazing woman Faith. Or are there suggestions for different names which she might deserve? Thank you, Katie. Such a helpful lesson. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alaska, keep my family in your prayers, please. My mom and I have COVID, and my dad is starting to show symptoms as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Shell, I just wanted to say a prayer of thanks to Jim Gerhard and the Familia Del Corazon for hosting Zoom services while I was enjoying a lovely vacation with my family. I'm glad to be with you all again today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jean and Amy, for all the teachers in their challenges who must, and their challenges who must return to classes or prepare for virtual teaching. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Familia del Corazon, prayers for our friend, Miss Jamie, whose father, Bill, is undergoing radiation for aggressive prostate cancer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Linda and Robert, prayers for my brother-in-law, Chris, who is in the hospital with pneumonia. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris, we are excited that my parents found a great 55-plus place to live 4 miles from our house, excited to call them neighbors starting September 1st. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, this weekend, Sean and I are celebrating 11 years of marriage. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Donald, please pray for our government, especially that we may have a safe and democratic election, and pray for the post office and its employees. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Pax, a prayer of thanksgiving for the ability to gather virtually as a community and deepen our faith together. I'm grateful to see Helen here on Zoom for the first time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Michelle and Amanda, prayers for Michelle. They have been having heat discomfort and several appointments to check out their heart. Pray for peace during this uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kristen, from Kristen, it is Malcolm and my first anniversary at TAB. Thank you for being such an accepting environment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Heather and Oscar, for Onita and Clive Thompson and their children living in sanctuary, for a miraculous change in policy to set them free from the threat of deportation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you, each of you who shared the prayers of your heart. And as we hear these prayers and are recalling them and remembering them in this time, let us sing together as we lift up these prayers together. Come bring your burdens to God. Continue to pray. Oh God, you have heard our cries, you have heard our prayers that we've shared. You hear also the prayers that we don't put into words, but that are on our hearts. And we honor even those silent prayers this morning, the prayers that we can't speak out loud. God, we thank you for this opportunity and ability to connect virtually and to remember that we are connected to one another, connected to you, and that we are none of us in this alone, that we need each other. And so we ask, God, that in these days ahead and in our time ahead, that you would keep that before us, our need for you, our need for one another, both in sharing our burdens and but also in our times of confession. We need one another to show us and reveal to us where we've gone wrong and where we need healing and change. We ask God that in this week ahead that we would find the strength of Jesus, and we would find the strength of this woman of great faith in the passage that we read this morning, and that you would help us remember their witness, and that you would help us grow in that witness and deepen in our faith. God, we lift up all the prayers that have been shared, prayers for healing, prayers for release and liberation, and prayers for those in power and in other forms of influence and leadership, for heart and hearts to be changed. God, transform us, help us, save us, be with us. We thank you for Jesus who taught us to pray, and we pray that prayer together. If you know it by heart, you can pray it in whatever version you learned, or if you want to use the version on the screen, you can do that as well. Let's pray together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto God is omnipotent. The Lord our God is wonderful. For the Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God is wonderful.
Friends, as you go out into the world or in your homes or wherever you go this week, I invite you to remember the witness that we have heard, the witnesses that we have heard from today. Remember that, first of all, that you have the God-given ability to change, to be changed. So let's embrace those places where we need to change. Let's hear the truth about our harm so that we can change. And let us also remember what faith is about, what faith can look like, faith that agitates, faith that demands for inclusion. And let's remember that and not be afraid to speak out, to use our voices, to cry out for change in our world, because that is what God desires, that is God's will. So remember that you do not go out alone, that you go with God, and that you go in the faith and strength of witnesses that have gone before us. So go in peace to serve God, to serve your neighbor, to serve creation. Amen.